Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries, and on today's special episode, we are going to be airing the first half of part one of our new series. That series is covering pornography, Satanism, and sex trafficking. And the first video regarding this new series is titled Satan's Sex Scheme. You're going to be hearing the audio version of that today. If you would like to see all four parts of this series, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, as two of those parts have not yet aired. Part one was Satan's Sex Scheme. Part two was Playboy's Satanic Link. And this Friday, go to the Good Fight Ministries YouTube channel to watch the premiere of part three, How Porn is the New Norm. And if you subscribe, you'll be ready for the following Friday, where you can watch part four, From Porn to Sex Trafficking. And now, let's listen to Satan's Sex Scheme.
For thousands of years, Satan has been fooling and entrapping young men and women with his sex schemes through the lusts of men and using sons and daughters of disobedience in order to entrap men in their own lusts. And with me today is Pastor Joe Schimmel, who's going to help us show the fingerprint of Satan when it comes to not only the sexual revolution, pornography, and even the modern sex trafficking business. So with me today, as I said, is expert on Crowley, Kinsey, and a lot of the talks we're going to be discussing today, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing?
I'm doing great, bro. Disgusting, sad topic that has the underbelly of what Satan's doing in the world, but we have to confront it, man. If we just ignore it, stick our heads in the sand, it'll come like a deluge and wipe us and our kids out.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And one of the things, discovering this topic, and when we talked about setting out to say, hey, we want to expose this wickedness, was the fact that you've been dealing with this for a number of years. In fact, in the early 2000s, as mentioned in the intro, you were going out to make a documentary specifically on this subject, but not just on this subject, but also you were gonna make it on porn, right? It was gonna be called The War on Porn, and that turned into what is now called the Kinsey Syndrome. And just, I wanna, before we get into anything, how did that come about?
Yeah, a friend of mine, Chris Pinto, and I mentioned to Chris, hey, I want to do a video war on porn, and we got together. And the more I looked at it, I said to Chris, sat down with him one time as we were doing pre-production stuff, I said, you know, bro, I go, I think we need to, you know, I still want to deal with the war on porn, but I said, we need to focus in on what's going on with the kids. So the more I looked into it, the more I was seeing, especially studying Crowley's Satanism and his disciples, and the fact that these folks were, in the pornographic industry, were targeting children, and it was starting to rear its ugly head, and becoming more and more apparent. The more you dug, the more apparent it became. I was like, you know what we need to do is, I really want to focus on what they're doing to the kids. So we switched it up to deal with what was going on with the kids. And it became way beyond what either of us had even imagined as far as how dark it was. And that's how the Kinsey Syndrome came about.
Wow, and I'll say this. I, even researching for this exact topic that we're discussing, I didn't know how much was even in the Kinsey Syndrome, and I had watched it before. And in all honesty, when I see all the hashtags, save the children, and everything that's going on, when you look at what's going on with Epstein, it really was was way ahead of its time. Oh, that video is way ahead of its time. And we're actually gonna be playing right now the introduction to that video. And I wanna encourage you guys, and I had told Joe this before we filmed this, I wanna encourage people because I had no idea that this was so deep, and we would really have a better understanding of what's going on with Jeffrey Epstein, what's going on with the Wayfair scandal, what's going on with child sex trafficking, if we simply would have looked at the Kinsey Syndrome.
Yeah, you could actually see connections with Satanist Aleister Crowley, which we'll get into. He's kind of the father of the sexual revolution. They call Kinsey the father of the sexual revolution, but on a worldwide level, I would say that would be Crowley. But Crowley had a hymn to Pan. Pan was known for, you know, in a lot of the erotica by the ancient Greeks for being a god that, you know, honored pedophilia. A lot of the statues, unfortunately, show him with an erection with kids. Very, very putrid and sick. Crowley was all about Pan as a personification of the devil in one of his deals. And Epstein had a couple different statues of Pan, and he was a pedophile. There's a spiritual component to all this, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Yeah, that's exactly
spiritual
right.
Spiritual principalities.
And because we want you guys to not only hear what we're going to be talking about in this, we would love for you guys to check out the Kinsey Syndrome. We're going to be playing a number of clips from that film because we do believe they're impactful. And let's start you off right now with the introduction of the Kinsey Syndrome.
How old were you when you met Dr. Alfred Kinsey?
It was probably in 1943 or so. I didn't know who he was. All I knew was that my dad was very excited about taking me there for an interview.
You ask, what would the American public say if they actually understood the background to what became the sexual revolution, a sexual psychopath?
Do you ever remember your father molesting you with a stopwatch?
Yes.
If the American public knew that Kinsey worked with a Nazi pedophile and encouraged his rapes of children and possibly even and eventually the murder of this one little girl.
You and I are going to be doing some experiments.
This man was the singularly most important individual in the decriminalization of every single law that we had ever had that protected women and children.
I know it's pretty eerie to see the typing and the stopwatching and recognize the connection with Nazi pedophiles. Mm-hmm. But the question has to come out, how did Kinsey come to this flawed and fraudulent research?
Yeah, well, I believe, I have no doubt in my mind, it was based on the fact that he himself was an incredibly perverse sexual deviant. And he wanted to basically spread his deviancy to others. He preyed on children himself, preyed on young people. In fact, he was so deviant, he would, you know, in fact, Liam Neeson played the lead role, played Kinsey, and they hint towards some of his deviance, sexual deviancy, but he celebrated in that film, so it would probably go over people's heads, but they show him with one of his former students in a hotel room, kissing him, had sexual relations with this man named Pomeroy, who became his co-writer, shows him bleeding at one point in the bathroom after having sexually mutilated himself with sadomasochism. He had a problem with that, but you don't know exactly what was going on there. They just show it because they want to say, hey, we're showing some of the historically accurate things, but if you didn't know what was going on in Kinsey's life, that might go over your head. He was a criminal, a sexual pervert. He was a sex offender. He had students he had seduced into his attic to make pornographic male students pornographic homosexual sex films. So he was a pervert, and he arrived at his statistics by by claiming he was working with an average citizenship, you know. But he would work among sex offenders when they would take their surveys and so forth. By the way, they jettisoned about three quarters, they trashed three quarters of their research. We'll never know what it said. Why would he do that? And a lot of the research they found out was dependent upon a high number of, but they didn't let you know until later you find out, wow, he's interviewing a bunch of prostitutes. He's interviewing a bunch of people in the prisons. And he's coming, I mean, it's interesting when you look at the statistics, 200 sexual psychopaths, 86% deviant male population, 1,400 sex offenders, okay? So you have Kinsey interviewing this kind of the populace, and of course you're going to come up with skewed numbers. And who knows what else they came up with regard to the numbers they fudged. He wasn't an honest man. He was a very diabolical man. So his statistics were meant to mirror the World War II, post-World War II, the greatest generation. All of a sudden, everybody's find out, wow, all of our dads and grandpas are sexual perverts based on his statistics. Same with the females. He didn't like to have your typical housewife interviewed for her sexual proclivities. He went after the prostitutes and so forth. So his numbers became skewed. So all of a sudden America gets these inflated numbers of sexual perversion. And they're saying, oh, that's who we are. So he's trying to change the identity of people to identify with a sexually perverse identity like his own. In fact, in 1960, Kinsey claimed that between 10 and 30% of the male population, this is in 1960, before the sexual revolution, he claimed that up to 37% of the male population is homosexual, at least to some extent. And it's interesting because how did he come to his findings? You know, this part gets me emotional at times. In fact, a lot of this gets me very, very angry. Being a dad, being a grandpa, and loving people is he actually had pedophiles keep sex diaries for him. And these pedophiles that he worked with were encouraged to recollect their findings, you know, stopwatches, surveys, and everything about the kids they were molesting, how they would react under sexual stimuli. So he's working with sex offenders. This guy is a wicked pervert. I mean, how does he get to know all these sexual perverts? He himself was a pedophile. So it's interesting with regard to Kinsey because he had children as young as 5 months being molested with recordings as to how they reacted under sexual stimuli. And his famous table, which was table 34, actually tables 30 through 34 in the sexual male, the sexuality of the human male, came out in 1948. He actually has a recording of several children, very, very young, infants and older, as young as 5 months old, and how they reacted, as I mentioned, to sexual stimuli on page 180 of Sexual Behavior in the Human Male. And he claims it's scientific. And he talks about, quote, multiple orgasms in pre-adolescent males, quote, end quote. And nobody stopped to think when that book came out in 1948. How does he know? Are these, you know, but people look at, oh, this is academia. You know, you got a bunch of perverts in coats, you know. How did he find out how these kids are reacting? What in the world's going on? And Judith Reisman, who, I mean, she's more than anybody else, man. She tore it up as far as, she was given under Ronald Reagan a grant of almost, I think it was like $850,000 to research the effects of pornography, which we'll get into a little bit later, on, you know, child abuse and child sex crime and so forth in the major publications like Playboy, Penthouse, and Hustler and so forth. And her findings were amazing. But she was able to, she asked the question, wait a minute, how did he find these things out about these kids? And it was later revealed by his own associates that he was working with pedophiles who were indeed keeping sex diaries.
With stopwatches.
Yeah. In fact, actually, one kid, four-year-old kid, was tested for 24 hours straight, supposedly tested, you know, and had supposedly 26 orgasms. And by the way, these orgasms are described as shrieking, screaming, or crying out. And these aren't orgasms. These are kids being molested and these pedophiles
raped.
Trying to get raped. And these pedophiles pretending in their minds that the kids were having some kind of sexual gratification.
I mean, it's obviously positively disgusting. It is hard. And I'm just going to tell you right now, from someone, we research a lot of things. This, just me personally, is the hardest possible thing to research and to look at and to see this,
yep.
Especially, as you said, having children of your own. And I hope that right now, this is just the starting point, by the way. We haven't even scratched the surface of how wicked this is and how wicked it's already being shown forth. But I have to say, you have to see how this is all interconnected. And it's so clear, especially when we understand.
It's the world we live in.
Yep.
And it wasn't just Nazi elites. It's government elites right now. It's people in Hollywood, high elites. And, you know, the whole Me Too movement just scratched the surface. We're showing a satanic underbelly that you're not going to see on 60 Minutes. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see discovered by, or, you know, proliferated or exposed by the, you know, Me Too movement, what have you. Between 300 and 2,000 children were molested. The estimates, the most conservative estimates are 300. Just over 300, up to 2,000 as kids that were molested by Kinsey's pedophiles that worked for him.
I mean, it's grotesque. And to think that this was the research that was put forth to create a lot of the laws that we have still to this day, including a lot of the abortion laws now. I mean, so
right.
Much of those things have affected the laws that we are walking in today in this country. And that's the question that I want to ask to you. What sort of immediate effect, you said it came out in 1948, what sort of immediate effect did it have on the culture?
Well, yeah, the sexual behavior of the human female came out in 53, but in 1948, The Sexual Behavior of the Human Male came out. And it's interesting because that was just perfect. And I say this timing was perfect because the 1960s come, and it's perfect timing for the sexual revolution. And a lot of the sexual revolution got its license to go into sexual morality based on the academia that came out of Indiana University through the findings of Alfred Kinsey, who was a pervert and was trying to push a narrative and skewed his findings, and it was made more acceptable. People were saying, wait. And now a lot of people still kick back against it, but you had all the youth they were targeting, the hippie revolution, the young people. And a lot of times young people just accept and, oh, we're free and they've got all their hormones going and so forth, and they just gobble these things up without looking at things from a standpoint of both sides of an issue oftentimes, and many of them just, you know, gobbled it up. But by 1968, over 51,000 professionals, quote unquote, have been trained in the unaccredited IASHS, which is the Institute of Advanced Study of Human Sexuality, to teach Kinsey's sexuality in medical schools, to design curriculums for schools and what have you. So you have over 50,000 people trained in this. So now you have it spreading through immediately almost through academia. You have, of course, you have, which we'll get into, I'm sure, a bit later, Playboy, you know, in the 60s, interviews being done by Hugh Hefner in the very first issue of Playboy, basically, you know, sanctifying his magazine and saying, yeah, this is really what sexuality is about. So you had it in the entertainment world. You had Harry Hay, who's a co-founder. I'm sorry, not the co-founder, but Harry Hay was considered, and we have a whole thing on him, and they sold their souls for rock and roll in the whole 60s revolution, but he's basically the founder of the modern day gay liberation movement. But Harry Hay was a follower of the Satanist named Aleister Crowley, right? Who is basically the spiritual father of the sexual revolution. And Harry Hay was called the oldest hippie, because in the 1960s, here's this man who's into children, hanging out with all the teeny bopper little hippie kids. And guess what? He's marching in gay parades with a big NAMBLA placard, National Man-Boy Love Association, in the gay parades. And he's targeting the children. He's a member of Crowley's satanic organization called the Order of the Temple of the Orient, or OTO. So you have this incredible web of demonic things going on in education and in the hippie revolution, in entertainment. You have in 1955, not long after the sexual female came out, and a few years after the sexual male came out by Kinsey, the American Law Institute Model Penal Code jettisoned the common law sexual standards that were based upon biblical authority and precedent. And they called this Kinsey stuff, you know, scientific law and objective data. So everything just changed radically, and people just kind of checked their mind at the door and say, oh, these academics must have the truth. But it was all based on sexual perversion.
All based on faulty research as well. And like you said, of a sexual deviant. And it's interesting, at that time, you know, you had sports to this. You had a couple of different quarterbacks. You had Joe Namath
comes to mind, yeah.
And Roger Staubach. And Joe Namath was the playboy, and everyone knows he slept around. And he was this cool guy wearing fur coats on the sidelines. And then they had Roger Staubach. And basically, you know, it's really interesting that Satan is the one who skews sexuality. And I remember, still as a Cowboys fan, you know, I remember them interviewing, now reading later, because I was not alive back then, but Roger Staubach, they asked him about his sexuality. He said, I like sex just as much as him, but I like it with one woman, you know, and that was his wife. And it's so interesting that we go from there to now, that is what is bragged about. And that would be, you see this effect.
God invented sex. He created male and female, two different genders, for the reason of procreation through sex, and he made it enjoyable in the confines of a marital relationship. Outside the confines of a marital relationship, it's very destructive.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I'm sure you'll give a nice analogy later on that. But, you know, we have these effects that happen then. Did it just stay in that bubble? Did it stay in a cocoon? Or do we have effects from Kinsey's research that went through the 60s, the revolution, that are affecting us today?
Well, it's funny you say that, because in 1962, Ralph Slavenko, he wrote in the Vanderbilt Law Review, quote, even at the age of 4 or 5, the seductiveness, talking about 4 or 5 year olds, the seductiveness may be so powerful as to overwhelm the adult into committing the offense. I mean, it is evil and wrong to blame a gal for being raped and putting all on her, but you had people starting to, you know, sexualize little kids and say, well, that person was made to commit that offense because those kids are sexual now. So it changed the way people looked at things, and it affects us today in a lot of ways. In fact, the United States Department of Justice, which I think this is just horrific, just 1 year, now I just was looking at random years, and in 1 year, 58,200 children were kidnapped by non-family members. And it's interesting that they state that over 50% of those who are forcibly sodomized are males under 12 years old, okay? And this is so absolutely wicked. So what we got going on here is, you know, the Kinsey movie came out some years ago. I thought it was interesting because it came out around the same time our video, The Kinsey Syndrome, would come out. And I went and saw it in theaters because that's the only place you could see it. And I wanted to see it as soon as I could. And it was starring Liam Neeson. And of course, it's Kinsey movie, and you've got all these liberals there. And at the very beginning of the movie, you know, they're joking about, you know, people used to believe that if you committed fornication or you had sex outside of marriage, that it would cause earthquakes. And then you hear the people in the audience snickering and laughing, like those prude Christians. They, not that Christians believe that, you know, but they're saying it's so ridiculous to think that there's consequences to sexual deviancy, and it shouldn't really be considered deviancy. But what they, and everybody's thinking, yeah, it doesn't cause earthquakes, it's not that bad. Well, they didn't mention the movie AIDS and the millions of people that died of AIDS. Yeah. They didn't mention herpes and syphilis and gonorrhea and all kinds of, right now, sexually transmitted diseases. And since the Kinsey syndrome, or I'm sorry, since Kinsey came out with his findings and the sexual revolution in the 60s, we've had an epidemic. Right now, sexually transmitted diseases are at an epidemic proportion. Not only have millions of people been dead from them, but you have all kinds of people that can't have children because of them. It just breaks your heart. And this is all in the name of sexual freedom, when really it brings destruction. So you have all kinds of deviancy. Those are some things I would mention as well. You have mass gender dysphoria, people being confused about what sex they are, yeah. Even though their biology makes it very clear what sex they are. You have all this confusion. You have suicide with regard to people bending people's minds regarding their sexual background and so forth. You have people no longer believing that we're special creations of God, male and female, made to a male to be with female and bring forth human offspring and parents being there for children and bringing them up in the confines of a marriage relationship. So you have all kinds of fallout, but one of the worst things you have right now is human beings, females particularly, but both sexes these days, are totally objectified as they're basically turned into pieces of meat. So you have Hugh Hefner, the Playboy, doing Carl's Jr. commercials, eating a burger, talking about eating different hamburgers, and he's eating that particular burger, and he says, and the commercial is for men who don't want the same thing every night. And the idea is that, hey, you can have this hamburger this time, so you can have different women, and basically women are compared to meat. Yeah. Meat that you just can devour, or you can get tired of, and you can just dispose or throw away as trash. And what's happened now is now humans are looked at as just basically trash that could be abused, and not looked at humans made in the image of God that should be treated with respect as image bearers of the living God.
You know, obviously we can see that the sexual deviancy, as you've already mentioned very clearly, some of the nasty, disgusting S&M kind of stuff, the sadomasochism that Mr. Kinsey was into, some of the homosexuality, bisexuality, trisexuality, whatever you want to call it, you see this obviously played an effect. I mean, that's clear. But we have a clip right here of the research that Pastor Joe did for the Kinsey syndrome. And it's a nice long clip because we want you guys to see the connection. We want you to see that it's not merely a flesh and blood issue. It's not simply just one person who's sexually deviant. And that's clearly seen. But the fact is that there's something far more sinister afoot when we see his connection to Satanists. Aleister Crowley.
Kinsey's willingness to work with the devil at one point seemed to take on a very literal meaning.
One of the interesting things I found several years ago in researching the Satanist Aleister Crowley was the influence that he has had on so many people here in the United States of America. And one of the men that he had influenced was Alfred Kinsey.
After publishing his male and female reports, Kinsey began to travel abroad and study sexuality in foreign countries. In his book, Kinsey co-author Wardell Pomeroy wrote that Kinsey went looking for a prized item, the diaries of Aleister Crowley.
Crowley died just a year before Kinsey's book came out.
Crowley was a famous and highly controversial British occultist in the early part of the 20th century. His sexual exploits in bizarre and sometimes deadly satanic rituals had been exposed in the London newspapers.
He also talked about taking a virgin and having sexual relations with her, and then upon a climax, to actually murder her, cut her in six pieces, and put the names of the various demon gods on those six limbs, those six parts of her body.
Taking the name for the Antichrist in the Bible, Crowley called himself the Beast 666. His famous saying was, "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law," by which he justified all forms of immorality.
Crowley had a sex temple and had practiced group sex and orgies and what have you, and so-called sex magic. Crowley was into pedophilia. He was into justifying his pedophilia. In fact, he had said, "Let me seduce the boys of England." He wanted to seduce them, and then he starts talking about sodomy and it being should be acceptable. So, it was quite shocking, especially back then.
Pomeroy wrote that Crowley was called by Lord Douglas the wickedest man who ever lived, and his sexual history alone was enough to earn him the title he gloried in, the Beast. Crowley kept a diary up to his death. 2 weeks after Kinsey tracked down these papers in England, he found himself in the temple that the Beast had founded in Sicily. Kinsey is pictured here inside Crowley's temple, known as the Abbey Thelema, where he performed his satanic rituals. On the wall is a picture of Crowley himself, while across from Kinsey is another man named Kenneth Anger. Anger was a close acquaintance who appeared in some of Kinsey's sex films, made in the attic of his Bloomington home. As an avant-garde filmmaker, Anger was deeply involved in the occult. He directed films with titles such as Lucifer Rising and The Invocation of My Demon Brother.
Kenneth Anger is a co-founder of Anton LaVey's Church of Satan, and Kenneth Anger also had a penchant for younger men, for sure. Bobby Beausoleil was his live-in boyfriend. That's the same Bobby Beausoleil that committed the first murder, killing Hinman for Charles Manson. That was his live-in boyfriend. He played Lucifer in one of his occult movies that extolled the virtues of Aleister Crowley's magic and what have you.
In this image from one of Anger's films, we see Bobby Beausoleil, who would later become one of Charles Manson's killers. He's standing next to a doorway with Crowley's maxim, "Do what thou wilt," painted on the door. A phrase that certainly fit with Kinsey's own view of human sexuality.
Pomeroy even admits that Kinsey loved Crowley's writings, including specifically mentioning some of his homosexual erotica. One of his books called White Stains.
Kenneth Anger is quoted saying that Kinsey was obsessed with obtaining the Great Beast's day-to-day sex diaries. To obtain grant monies and maintain the support of the university, Kinsey needed the excuse of research to validate his 24 hours a day obsession with sex. However, Kinsey's battle cry of "do your best and let other people react as they will" seemed a variation on Crowley's "do what thou wilt" maxim. An older Kenneth Anger is pictured here, with the name Lucifer tattooed on his chest. So important was Anger's relationship with Kinsey that to this day, the Kinsey Institute Library features a Kenneth Anger collection with an archive of Anger's films, as well as the correspondence between him and Alfred Kinsey.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.